Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 17. We'll begin reading at the 22nd verse. If you remember the story how Paul was alone at Athens for a time, waiting for his companions to come. And the Bible tells us his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And it interests me how this maybe was a little different ministry for Paul. His practice had been to go first to the Jews in the city, to the synagogue, and to speak to the Jewish people first, to see if there was an interest, if God was able to open these hearts and touch them. And if not, he went to the Gentiles. But here in Athens, it seems that there wasn't a Jewish synagogue or that he fellowshipped with. Well, it says there, though, excuse me, I take that back. 17 says, he disputed in the synagogue with them, but then he went out into the marketplace, and he saw the city given wholly to idolatry. And his approach to them, how was he going to reach them? And the Lord directed him, I'm sure, in the days that he was waiting for his friends to come. The Lord directed him how to speak to them. And in the 17th verse, the 22nd verse, it says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things ye are too superstitious. Now the NIV says this, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. It seems that this thought of worship and of worshiping a god has been something that we find in many of the civilizations, if not all. It seems that there's a place in the human heart that desires to worship someone or something greater than we. And can you think of other things that people worshiped? What did the Egyptians? Did the Egyptians worship the sun? There was a sun god, and the Incas, they built those temples. The Mayans, some cultures they worship nature. Anything else?
Themselves, idols.
Some people built idols, Buddha and Baal, and Chuck said ourselves. Another person. In this city, it seems that they had many gods, right? They had many altars. I think it was in the Greek religion, right? They created these gods. They made up these gods of their own kind of imagination. You know, Zeus and Hermes and all these different Mercury, all these different gods that they kind of created, you know, and they had human characteristics, and some were anger and or mean and war, you know, and all of it was just of their own imagination. And so here Paul comes upon this scene, and he finds all these different altars. And he finds this altar to the unknown God. And he says, I'm going to tell you about him. The God that you worship as unknown, I'm going to reveal him to you. And so he goes on and he says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. I guess he was making reference to the idol temples, and maybe where they put food before them, they brought things to them. Food for the gods to eat. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, verse 25, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. So here we see a creator God who doesn't abandon his creation. You know, there are people today who believe that there is a God, but he's not really, you know, concerned about us. He kind of created, he made the world and set it in motion, and then he kind of left it on its own. But here Paul says, that's not the God I'm proclaiming to you. He made us. And he's interested in the affairs of men and the affairs of our lives. He gave us breath. He gave us life. He determined where we would live, the different nations, the boundaries. And what was his purpose? Well, Paul says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. God is desiring this fellowship and worship from his creation. You know, Dad has often said that all of God's creation worships him and obeys him, except we humans. You know, the stars and the moon and the sun and the planets in their orbits, they're all doing exactly, they're right where God wants them to be. And yet we, his highest creation, created in his image, filled with the breath of life, which he himself breathed into man, we've gone our own way. But God's desire is that men everywhere would seek him and reach out for him and find him. And so he puts within us this place that only he himself can fill. And so throughout time, people have desired to worship a God. They try to fill that longing, that call within our hearts, that cry for our Creator. He goes on to say, God is not really far from us. Have we found that to be so? Isn't God so near to us? Near to all them that call upon him, that call upon him in truth. In him we live and move and have our being. And the Bible tells us, teaches us that Jesus holds this whole world in his hands. I don't know if you, what theory of the atom you understand now. I don't know what the latest theory is. It seems it changes every so often as men and scientists are able to delve deeper and maybe finer into that atomic physics. But it seems that the laws of physics don't make sense when it comes to the atom. At the very heart, it seems like that nucleus should not stay together. Who holds that atom together?
It's a little something that they don't know what it's called, but they call it the God particle.
Well, it's not a God particle, it's God.
I know, I'm just saying.
I know. Thank you. It tells us that he holds all things together. In him all things consist. All things are held together by our Creator. And how is it that this world one day will burn with fire? Well, Jesus is going to let it go. And this Creator God, in him we live and move and have our being. You know, he fills this earth. And yet we run around and we don't recognize him. And mankind just goes about seeking after him in their own way. They seek to fill that void. And as it were, they worship this unknown God. Now this thought of this title, Eternity in Their Hearts, I kind of took that from, that's not my title. That's from a book. It's the title of a book written by a Christian man who is an anthropologist, like? I don't know. Studies cultures from a Christian's perspective, you know. Has everyone saw this book? Yeah, Turning His Heart. Well, and in that he has a story of how the Athenians came to have this altar to the unknown God. That it actually was an event that took place in their history that's recorded in their secular history. Now, I don't have the time to tell you that, but if you're interested, I'll point you to the book and you can read about it. But here they wanted to make sure that they had satisfied every god. They wanted to make sure that they were worshiping all the gods. And so they had to make this one altar for the unknown God, because all their prayers weren't answered. A plague had come into their country, and it seemed as they prayed and they didn't to these other gods, nothing worked. And finally someone came and told them there was a God that they weren't appeasing, and they made sacrifice to the unknown God. But I'm straying a little bit away from what I wanted to say. So where does this thought of eternity in their hearts come from? We find that in Ecclesiastes 3. Did you take the time to look at that? Ecclesiastes 3:11. The King James says, God has also set the world in their hearts. The verse starts with, God makes all things beautiful in his time. God has also set the world in their hearts. The NIV translates that, God has set eternity in their hearts. You see, you and I were created for eternity, and there's a desire in our hearts for the eternal God. He has set that void. We're not going to be satisfied with the things of this earth. It's never going to really satisfy us, because the things around us, the things that men worship, are of our own creation. And they're passing. They pass away. And they never truly satisfy the human heart, because we have been created in the likeness of God. He created us for himself. I was trying to remember, maybe someone will help me. Is it Augustine who says, what does he say?
That
tell me.
God has said, put a name, design us for him, and until we find him, our hearts will always be
Restless. Right. So now that was the Brother Pedro's version. But that's the essence of it. God hath created us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. Does that sound? Something like that. That's the thought, right? Like Brother Pedro expressed. God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him. Until he becomes the center of our worship, the center of our lives, until he is king and we bow to him as Lord and Savior. And so I had a question here, and I want us to think about this. What are some things we worship? Are we don't have all those, we don't have altars and, you know, in our cities and to unknown gods and all these different gods, but are there gods that we worship? What are things that we worship, that we try to fill that void within? What are some of them?
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Have you thought about how people are just driven to please themselves? And in excess at times, right? Just the pleasures that we try to fill our lives with. And I think that when I think of that, I think of also entertainment. How much money the U.S. people spend on entertainment? On sports, right, and movies. And we worship these celebrities. Like, really?
Food.
We worship food.
Money.
You're going too quick for me here. Let me. Fashion. These are all good, but it's true. And again, that's another thing, you know. We have to have the latest fashion. And yet it all comes up what? Empty. Empty. Daddy used the word vanity this morning. It's all vanity. It's all vanity. It's all vanity. It's meaningless. It's empty. No lasting value. Possessions are how we accumulate things, and we think that things are going to satisfy. And Jesus said, your life doesn't consist in the things that you have. Sometimes we worship people. We put people in the place of God, and we look to relationships and try to find happiness and satisfaction in a relationship or in a person. And relationships are not wrong. They're healthy. That's what God gave us, relationships. But we don't want to worship someone else, as it were, and put them in first place in our hearts. God has to be first. God, the Creator, must be the one that I bow down to and worship. Now, I worship the ground my wife walks upon. You know that. Oh, she laughed. Oh, you are here, baby. I didn't know you were here, honey. But do we get the picture this morning? Do you understand?
Knowledge. We also worship knowledge.
Right. Information.
Technology.
Technology. Yeah, physical beauty. Some of us have it, some of us don't, right?
The internet.
The internet, right. Google. Yeah, you worship Google, brother. All right, we can chuckle about it, but let's get the point. Because we're in danger, beloved. We are in danger. Why is the Church of Jesus Christ in America so powerless? Why? Tell me. Because we're worshiping the things of this world. That's why. And when you look at Revelation 3 and you see that church, the message to the church at Laodicea, it was a message to a church. It wasn't a message to an unsaved people. It was a message to a church, and where was Jesus? He was on the outside. He was on the outside seeking entrance. And we've put our religious ways. Sometimes we're too religious, maybe, in that we think there's a form that will satisfy God. We think there's a form of religion that will satisfy our hearts. And we can go through the motions and not really worship. Jesus is on the outside. And so, there was something that was in the staff booklet. I think it was yesterday. And I saw it, and I said, that's right. Now someone's smiling because they know it's there, right? Does anybody else know besides Sarah?
Yeah, if you have your book, what does it say about the unknown God?
Worship which is not through Christ is worship of an unknown God.
Read it again.
Worship which is not through Christ is worship of an unknown God.
And the reference for that was in Matthew 11:27. And there it talks about how God sent Jesus to reveal the Father to us. And God wants us to worship with a full understanding of who He is. We don't have to worship an unknown God. We can know God. And God sent Jesus so that we can know the Father. We can know Him. He is the expressed image of His person, the radiance of His glory. And so we can worship the God who gave Himself for us, who came down from heaven and took upon Him the form of man, showed us exactly what God was like. We don't have to worship an unknown God. We can worship God through Jesus Christ. He has revealed Himself to us. And so let's just ask the Lord to examine our hearts this morning. Are there any gods, as it were, idols that we've set up? And then the second question, do we fully understand? Have we fully comprehended, apprehended our Lord Jesus, His great love for us? Is there any other response than worship? Presenting ourselves to Him, our spiritual act of worship, yielding our bodies to Him as temples of the Holy Spirit. I trust you've come to realize He's not far from us. He's been so near to us. And we can walk with Him. We can abide in Him throughout the day. We can have that fellowship with Him. Our hearts can look up in worship and adoration. We can pay loving attention to Him all day long because He has revealed Himself to us. He's made Himself precious to our hearts. And so our hearts will be restless until they find their rest in Him. Jesus, You've made us for Yourself. God, You have created us with a place inside that only You can fill. And so, Lord, I thank You. I thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, that we can know You. You are a God that desires to be known. And Lord, if there are things that we have tried to place ahead of You, if there are gods, idols, Lord, forgive us. You be altogether King upon the throne of our heart. May we have no other gods before You. We want to love You with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Now, I believe it's right if we would just pray that way. Lord, is there anything? Holy Spirit, are you speaking to me about something? Let's be specific. If God is pointing something out that's not right, and it might not even be what we would say sinful, or it's not so bad, but if it's taking the place that only God deserves, then we need to repent of that thing. Oh God, oh God, speak to us, Lord. Lord, lay thy finger upon our hearts. Show us the thing that grieves thee, that it may depart.
Fill that void within us with yourself. We do want you to reign in our lives. And these foes that exist within us, we ask you, break down every idol. Cast out every foe. There's a power in your blood to free us of anything and everything that we have set up as an idol. I just thank you, Lord, for talking to us the way you do. Thank you, Lord. And there is grace, help offered to us. I want to take the help today. I want to take the help, Lord. I really do, because I know I can't deliver myself.
Oh, hallelujah.
And you deliver. Hallelujah. Deliver me, Lord, from anything and everything that is not of thee. And help my dear brethren and sisters here. Help us all. Help us all. Oh, we want to glorify you. And we can't. We can't, Lord, unless we're clean. Thank you. You offer cleansing and offer yourself to us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you,
yes,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We open our entire being to you. Oh, we want you, Lord. You work, Lord, work until you gain that entrance that you are seeking. Fill that void. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And Lord Jesus, thou seekest thy patiently wait of thou and
I
books, and we'll sing 113 together. Maybe one a little story yet. Just a half a minute story regarding this song. We used to have boys' retreats here at camp when I was a boy. Brother Gordon Gardner was still alive, and I remember coming up to camp. Sometimes it was in the snow. I remember one year it was like a storm, a snowstorm, and it took us, I don't know, 7 hours to get here from the city, and I think Brother Kenny Ott was driving us up. And then maybe it was the first meeting, I don't remember, but what I do remember is just the last verse of this song was made so real. Brother Gordon spoke to us about idols, and then we sang this song. Holy Spirit, all divine, dwell within this heart of mine. Cast down every idol throne, reign supreme and reign alone. And that memory stays with me all these years. I don't remember too many things, but I do remember that. Cast down every idol throne. And I remember as young people, as we would, maybe 14, 15 maybe, I was anyway. And yet that message that there are idols that need to come down. And so let's stand and sing this as our prayer of today. Holy Ghost, shine upon this heart of our mind. Pedro, pray with us, please.
Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And thank you for making us, saving us, yes, keeping us, yes, working in us, oh Lord. Yes. Have thy way. Yes. Lord, we pray that in this day, your godly fear will settle in the deepest part of our souls, spirits, wills, bodies,
yes,
hearts,
Lord,
of minds,
yes,
oh Lord.
Lord, yes, Lord.
That your godly fear will deal with anything that is in the way, oh Lord. We want this beautiful song to be and true an experience in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Bless the Nantum, bless the village, bless the cottage.
Yes, Lord.
Bless every people, every person in this camp this day.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us this day with your godly fear in a fresh, new, and powerful way, O Lord. We expected this from you, Lord, because as we get to know you better, our faith grows, O Lord. We become bold, O Lord, and we expect that you will do what you purpose to do in
us, through us, O Lord, in this generation.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just let me remind you that this afternoon we meet for our staff prayer meeting at 4:15. If you'd like to join us, the guests are welcome to join us. And this is our last prayer meeting of these 2 weeks, so let's come in faith and believe God will meet us in the camp. God bless you.